Hi, I'm Graham Spanier.
Yes, I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Welcome back, everybody, to Radio Free Penn State here on the Lion 90.7 FM. I'm Andy, your friendly neighborhood annihilator. Joining me today, back throughout the course of this week, Mr. Frank the Tank Canella, senior in broadcast journalism, is it now telecom?
It's one or the other, but it's it's broadcast and journalism all the same. And just being here throughout all this stuff, it's just it's the pinnacle point of everything.
Indeed it is. Coming back for the second or third time on the show this week so far, Mr. John D'Andrea, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Graham Spanier, this is Radio Free Penn State. Now you're the first to go. Great to be here as always because of that. Unfortunately, a sad day for a university with the unfortunate and unjust forcing out of Coach Paterno.
Yeah.
An act of shame against our community by firing Joe Pa.
Where to even begin with any of this? Let me give out the number, 865-957-7865-WKPS. We're continuing this all week long here. Anybody want to call in and share their thoughts, opinions about any one or more of these things, or if you just want to sit back and just digest, fine. Radio Free Penn State is the Facebook page. At Radio Free PSU is the Twitter handle. Also, at the Lion 907 FM is the station's Twitter handle. Frank's all over the social media at the moment. We went to the press conference yesterday. We had witnessed the better part of what happened on the streets. We came on here. We did an emergency edition of Radio Free Penn State from 12:30 in the morning till 3 a.m. And now we're just recovering. And here we are. And John, I don't know what your initial reactions are today after you've had a night to sleep on all this stuff.
After I've had a couple hours to sleep on all this stuff during this day, after I've had a nap, my initial reactions, I mean, they're mixed. They couldn't be more mixed. As you know, Andy, I've been calling for Graham Spanier's resignation for a very long time or firing for a very long time. And now he's gone. So for that reason, you'd say, well, I couldn't be happier, but then they also fired Joe Pa, which could not make me any more sad. So I don't even know what to think, what to feel anymore. All I do recognize is that the Board of Trustees made a serious error in their judgment. They could not have made a bigger mistake than what they did. Not only did they fire the wrong guy in firing Coach Paterno, and not only did they do that unjustly and with no information that would warrant his firing, from what we've seen so far, at the very least, they continued to allow McQuarrie to coach. McQuarrie will be coaching during the Nebraska game. He was an eyewitness right to all of this.
That was asked three or four times of the trustees during the press conference yesterday, and they literally...
I think I even asked that to the trustees at one point,
and,
too.
And no change in status. Before we go further down that rabbit hole, Frank, we have two callers. First caller.
We have Mike and Dave.
Okay, let's go to Mike first. We got Mike on the line. Welcome to Radio Free Penn State. We got Mike on the line. Welcome to Radio Free Penn State.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, as good as we can be with all the lack of sleep and everything, Mike. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the gentleman who was just speaking about Paterno, couldn't agree more. I think that I just wanted to make a couple comments about what is bothering. I'm alumni, a lot of my friends alumni, and I think what's bothering us most is from everything I'm reading online, the chat, and everything else, you got people across the country, ripping on the university, saying that alumni and students should be ashamed of themselves and be ashamed of the university. And it makes absolutely no sense. Why be ashamed? Be ashamed of Sandusky? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we're not him. Be ashamed of Tim Curley? Absolutely. But the university as a whole, the student body, they have done, and the alumni have done so much good. I mean, we've raised millions and millions of dollars for charities. You know, great research. The students, the graduates, the alumni, so many productive members of society. And yet the country's piling on. But what really bothers me is I'm even seeing that some of the alumni, some of the students, are being timid. They're backing down, and they need to step up. Mm-hmm. And some of them are even afraid to acknowledge, or, you know, they feel Paterno was a scapegoat, but they are kind of afraid to say it. You know, and I think he's going to be vindicated. I think there's, you know, obviously going to be a lot more that's going to come out with this case. And honestly, I don't know why people aren't talking about the fact that Tim Curley and Mr. Schultz, you know, even in the deposition, they acknowledged they didn't call the police. And I think you're going to find out that they told Paterno that it was handled and that they filed a report, and they didn't. Paterno was completely blindsided by this. He was snowballed. And I don't know why more people aren't afraid to stand up, you know, and say that.
Well, you very well may be right about everything you said, but the truth of the matter is that even to this point in time, we none of us really ultimately know who really knew what or what they didn't know. And from all accounts, it seems as though Joe Paterno did not only did he know what little he knew, but he acted on what he knew to the extent that he felt she needed to. And only in hindsight, we're all realizing that, okay, it should have been more, as he's probably admitting
already.
Well,
and I understand the argument, but Paterno could have gone and, you know, called the police. But he, you know, nobody's denying that he called Curley to you know, his home that Sunday and everything else. I mean, that's in the deposition. But what I don't understand is, you know, why don't people understand or believe that, okay, maybe it's possible they told Paterno, hey, it's being handled, it's being investigated.
Right. Well, let's step back also and consider this. And I agree with you, and as you know, and all of us here in Radio Free Penn State, we're taking the position that the trustees are mishandling this whole thing with just
absolutely
arbitrarily, well, not arbitrarily, but just so immediately terminating Joe Paterno.
They caved.
But
enough pressure would have been alleviated just by simply firing Curley Schultz.
Sure, but I mean, in their minds, and this is not to excuse or to justify, in their minds, if I had to climb into their heads to try to understand what they could have been thinking, they must be thinking, listen, we've got to, this is just like it's like an open wound. It's just pouring forth. It's just gushing forth. We need to just close the wound immediately.
I agree, but look what happened. They fired Paterno, and if you read on all the message boards today and everything going on in the news, we're getting trashed even worse.
We're getting trashed nonetheless, if not worse. That's right. And so
there was no need to fire Paterno.
You're probably right in hindsight, but the question in their minds was, well, wait a second. If we let him coach on Saturday, then how's that going to play out? How would that react?
And
then
I understand that.
Yeah. Listen, I completely agree with you, Mike. I got to run. I want to grab the other call, but I want to thank you for calling.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's go to the other line. We've got Dave on the line. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Dave from Slatington.
All things considered.
How are you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say I just want to thank you guys for your tireless efforts, well, seemingly tireless. I was listening as much as I could to you guys last night, late last night after the Board of Trustees decision, and I was glad to hear the reports that I did, even as chopped up as they were, both because of the online feed not really working, and because, well, it's hard to get all of the thoughts together in this whole thing. You know, the decisions that were made and how they were made, and the way everything played out and is continuing to play out is an embarrassment to say the least. But through it all, I want to thank you guys for the work that you're doing in covering it and, you know, bringing the minds together to discuss it. You know, that's very important. I was really thankful for Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi and his input I felt was very valuable. And I was really thankful for that. And I'm going to have to add that, you know, it's one thing we know about people and Joe Paterno and people like Joe Paterno is that people don't really often betray themselves, in especially this late in life. We know that Joe Pa has dismissed players for offenses far less serious than what we've got going on with Skandaluski. But
Skandaluski, that's a good one.
Skandaluski, yeah. You know, we have to know that if Joe Pa knew, you know, he would have acted. You know,
right.
That's just
absolutely
the kind of person that he is. And yeah, he's being scapegoated, you know, to a degree. And I don't, there's no real explanation, no satisfactory explanation as to why the Board of Trustees wouldn't simply have been satisfied with his resignation. No, you're not going to, resign. We're going to fire you right now. That's, you know, it's a ridiculous, it's kind of a ridiculous action.
Dave, what do you think, because I want to grab another caller here, but I want to get your quick reaction. The way that the media is playing out outside of the Penn State community, the greater national media and all over the rest of the country, there's a lot of visceral disdain for Penn State. They don't feel or understand or know much about the connection that people have to Joe Paterno, the legacy, and so on. They don't feel, as non-Penn Staters, they don't really feel it. And they're saying, they're throwing him in with the same lot as all the other characters that are rightfully being dismissed, and saying that you shouldn't be whining and complaining about it, and that's it. And that's the narrative that's playing out in a lot of national media. What's your reaction to that? What do you tell people when you're wearing a Penn State sweatshirt, you know, about looking down at you and everything?
And that's a good question, you know, and I'd have to say, to the best of my ability, I just try to consider, well, who it is that's doing the mocking. You know, being that they were that much more removed from the real situation, they can't possibly know, how they themselves would have reacted if they were in the situation. So, to the best of my ability, I just, if they're not in any sort of official control of me, you know, they're not signing my paychecks or they're not putting the food on my table or something like that. To the best of my ability, I just have to just look the other way and let it roll off my back. Their
right.
mockery and their contempt, to the best of my control, mean nothing to me.
Okay. Dave, listen, I want to grab the other call, so I want to keep the lines open. I thank you again for calling.
Keep it rolling. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. All right, 865-9577. I want to go to Kelsey on the other line waiting patiently. You're live on Radio Free Penn State.
Hi. My name's Kelsey. I'm from Arlington, Virginia. I was just wondering if the student body is planning anything for this weekend at the football game.
Kelsey, my name is Frank Cannell. I'm a student here. I just want to say the one big thing that has been going on, we're going to try and put on a blue out. We're known for putting on whiteouts during our games and where everyone wears white. And this time around, we're going to do a blue out in which we wear blue to represent the color of the child abused organizations, as well as, kind of mourn in what's been going on and things of that sort. And remember, those people. But there has been and our first caller, Mike, he kind of asked, what have the students been doing? I think because of the chaos that happened last night, we're all kind of at rest, just trying to take all this in. And I think what you're going to find where the students are going to come in is definitely on Saturday during game day.
That's great. Yeah.
Kelsey, let me ask you.
Last night got covered was unfortunate. I think it became more like about the van getting tipped and stuff like that, and less about the fact that what the students were trying to say, which was that they were unhappy.
Kelsey, are you a Penn State alumna?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania originally. My cousin was on the Penn State football team, 86.
Oh, yeah. The championship year.
Yes.
Wow. So you certainly have a connection to Penn State.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Kelsey, I thank you for listening all the way from Virginia on www.theline.fm and for calling us here. I want to go to the other lines here in a moment, but first, thank you for the call, Kelsey.
Thank you.
All right. Before I go to grab any more calls, I want to introduce in the studio, coming back from late last night, our dear friend, Dr. Obi-Wan Ben Kenovac. Ben Novak, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Andy. Glad to be here. Sad to be here.
I always wish was under better circumstances. You have with you some news that you would like to share with our listeners.
Well, I have two things here. First, I would like to respond to the feelings of Kelsey and Dave, who asked, we were talking about how we feel. And I want to read you a letter that was sent on Tuesday to Joe Paterno and Sue Paterno from Paul and Marilyn Mazza.
Now, just for our listeners, the Mazzas are?
Yes, the Mazzas are a long, they're the presidents of South Hills Business School. Paul Mazza is a longtime respected attorney in Center County, and his wife is very active in almost all major civic things and for the community. Longtime Penn State residents in the area since the 1950s, and in fact before that, and went to school here, high school and so forth. And their connection to Penn State is very, very deep and very, very long. And they are personal friends of Joe and Sue. They were the godfather of one of Joe's children, and Joe was the godfather of one of the Mazza children. And they wrote to him on Tuesday. By the way, this letter was given to the Center Daily Times and asked to be published, but the publisher refused. And given to the Center...
Refused?
Yeah, well, yes. And then given to the Daily Collegian, and they did not refuse, but it has not yet appeared.
Okay.
And so...
But you're going to read it for us.
Yes, I got it from Paul. And it says, "Dear Joe and Sue, we are writing to tell you that the people who love you have very long memories. When we look back over the years, we do not see only a mountain of paternal kindnesses and accomplishments. Rather, we see an entire mountain range of paternal kindnesses and accomplishments. Each mountain has a name, family values, honorable children and grandchildren, loyal friends, principled conduct, tireless community service, two lifetimes of charitable giving, unaccounted secret kindnesses, small and large. You are models for thousands of football coaches, examples for tens of thousands of players in many sports besides football. The creation of the Penn State brand all over the world is your accomplishment. These kindnesses and accomplishments cannot and will not be erased by the events of the last several days. All the people who love you must now ask themselves two questions. Who are we, and what do we stand for? When we answer those questions, we must put our chins up, throw our shoulders back, and act like the people you have tried to help us become. The young men on your football team did not expect these challenges, but they can rise to meet these challenges. And so can all the students and the alumni. We can show what you taught us and how to live and what to stand for. Joe and Sue, keep your chins up, throw your shoulders back, and do what you can do better than anyone else in the country. Our prayers are with you." Signed, Paul and Marilyn Mazza. I think that expresses better than anything I've heard.
Amen.
How we all feel and what Joe and Sue mean to us.
Absolutely. And not even just the Mazzas, but also some of the victims I've read from, I believe, an article in the Harrisburg Patriot News, have said through their attorney that the Board of Trustees got it wrong, that they should have at least consulted with them before they decided to fire Coach Paterno.
That's the title of the story by Sarah Gainham in the Patriot News.
And we can get to that in a moment, but a lot of questions, there are many questions that people have asked about how the team should handle this, what the team should do this Saturday, that the man who is like a father to them, not just them, but many before them, who taught them honor, who taught them dignity, who taught them these lessons on and off the field, how they should handle this and what they should do to memorialize Coach Paterno. Well, I have an idea. One of the things that the team is famous for under the leadership and guidance of Coach Paterno is not having any names on the back of their jersey. And that was to teach them humility. That was to teach them that they're part of something greater than themselves. Well, I think, due respect to Coach Paterno, that for Saturday's game, they should break that tradition in one small way. They should all have a name on the back of their jerseys, the same name, Paterno.
That's a fantastic idea.
Let me run back to the phones. We have waiting patiently on the line. We have Seth. Seth, you're on Radio Free Penn State.
Hey, Andy, how are you? Last time we spoke, I was in Texas. Now I'm back in Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm doing... I can't even begin to describe it, Seth. What are your thoughts on all this?
You know, I think I couldn't be more disgusted with the Board of Trustees. And I was just getting ready to raise the point that John just raised. I guess my number one question to them is, who does this decision benefit? I mean, it certainly doesn't benefit the victims, as their lawyer has stated today that they were disappointed that the board didn't consult them before they made the decision. So the only conclusion I can draw is that the decision of the board to fire Coach Paterno serves nobody but the board. The board felt that they had to do something drastic to save their own credibility, because we don't, I mean, for all we know, the board has some, at least some members of the board have some level of culpability in this. I mean, if they want to say that, you know, Coach Paterno was either naive or outright lied, can't the same thing be said about the board? I mean, if you're the main governing body of the institution, you can't possibly tell me that there wasn't a rumor, an insinuation or something in the past, you know, decade plus that would have raised a red flag. I mean, I find it disgusting that the decision to fire Coach Paterno, and you could even extend this as far as President Spanier, and everybody that knows me knows there's no love lost between the president and myself. But, you know, I mean, who does it benefit? The children aren't benefiting from it. The only people that are benefiting from this decision are the Board of Trustees, because they know that in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, they're the ones that are going to be, you know, still in their position. They're the ones that are going to have to stand for it. So as far as I'm concerned, it was nothing but pandering to the media, to ESPN, to lunatics like Corey Geiger, you know, people that are covering the story and attaching too much emotion to the story. Like, yeah, we get it. Like, everybody can look at a 23-page grand jury presentment and say, well, I would have done this and I would have done that. Like, no, you can't claim what you would or wouldn't have done if you haven't walked a day in Coach Paterno's shoes.
Yeah.
Like, what is Coach Paterno supposed to do? If somebody comes up to me and tells me something like that, what are the police going to do when I call them? Well, we want to speak to McQuarrie. Yeah, I mean, the biggest mistake I see that Jopon made was not following up. I mean,
yeah,
I just find it absolutely disgusting. And the Board of Trustees' actions last night during the press conference, are you kidding me? If you're going to be on national TV, put on a damn necktie at least. Like, don't go up there and look like some schmuck who just drove down here, you know, on an hour's notification wearing a vest, or, you know, you have your shirt unbuttoned. Like, you're representing the university. Like, present yourself in a way, you know, present yourself how you want to be treated. Like, don't go up there and act like a complete buffoon or, you know, someone like a disorganized mess. And the guy who was handling it, you know, whoever was the president, the CEO of U.S. Steel, wasn't Garbin, which I wish.
Yeah, you're speaking about the vice president of the board, John Sherman.
Right, and he was a pompous ass during the interview. Like, why are you surprised that people are asking you aggressive and tough questions? Like, don't get up there and get all smug like you have some sort of entitlement that you can't,
yep,
you can't be asked tough questions. Like, give me a break.
Seth, the moment when one of the reporters, immediately upon announcing Joe Paterno's termination, one of the reporters asked the question, do you realize that at this very moment students are rioting downtown? And
right, and he acted like he couldn't be more
unconcerned.
Yeah.
He was just, no, I don't know that because obviously I'm sitting here in this room now, so how could I know what's going on downtown?
Right. Another thing that the board, like I said, the board acted in a way that makes me perceive them as acting in their own interest and their own interest alone. Like, I don't know, I just find it absolutely disgusting. Like, how can you not take that into consideration
right,
when making
right.
a decision?
Okay.
And his flippant demeanor on hearing the news of the rioting was almost to the level of Nero's while Rome was burning.
Yeah.
Right, like, I'm above that. Like, I shouldn't have to worry about that.
I couldn't be
like,
bothered. After I leave this building, I'm not going downtown, so why should I care? Yeah, that's almost how it came across to everybody. That, you know, he didn't say that, but that's pretty much, he might as well have said it. Seth,
right.
I got to grab another call. I want to thank
no
you
problem.
For calling
hey,
in.
Take care. Good seeing you. Good talking to you too, John.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, let's go to the other line here. We have Mark Steiner here calling in, waiting patiently. He's a student here at Penn State, like Seth is. You're live on Radio Free Penn State, Mark.
Hi. I just want to talk about, I actually think this last guy was on the air, Seth, he made some really good points, and I definitely agree with him. And basically, I've come down to the conclusion that Joe's a really, really, really good guy, and unfortunately, he got he was severely misinformed from the beginning of all of this, and because it all had to be this way, he ended up getting caught in the crossfire from the things that the board trustees had to do to show some authority to the entire nation. And I think one thing I really admire throughout this whole process is actually things like this radio station and the Daily Collegian, and how the university, while, you know, there's the things going on like the riots, and I mean, that's like a lot of the nation saw that, but I was the whole time I was, you know, listening or watching the Twitter feed and reading things on the Daily Collegian, listening to the radio station. I mean, I really admire how some of the students have made this into a real journalistic thing. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I've seen more journalistic integrity from students reporting this than through the national media.
I definitely agree with you there. From watching CNN last night, there were some of the things said on there that I think his name was Mike Toobin or something like that. He was one of the big guys on CNN talking about how the Penn State students were showing, you know, a lot of immaturity by rioting and things like that, and they were only going to make things worse. But I knew that, you know, there were students there who weren't out, and especially even in the crowd there, who were talking about real issues, and they weren't just, you know, out there just to you know, show their physical presence. They were there to show, you know, their mental presence. And I think through the journalism and the Daily Collegian, the radio station, and all the other college newspapers and things like that, that this has been shown from the students as like a very, you know, mature way of going about things, and you know, actually giving people real information and not just, you know, opinions about what they've been hearing and what they watched on the board of trust, like from the board of trustees, which I don't think was a very solid representation of the entire school.
Right, right. And that's the perpetual question here. You know, I'm trying to climb into the heads of these trustees, and from the way they conducted themselves to the short, curt answers, and
or the long, evasive answers,
or the long, evasive. Right. It just seems to me, what interests are you serving, and what narrative is shaping your mindset amidst all this? And who, you know, what donor came down with big money, high roller donor said, "Hey, all right, I'm cutting the check off unless I," you know, what happened? I mean, are you guys that disconnected from the greater, broader Penn State community? And I don't just mean students today who are in their 20s. I'm talking about people like the Mazes, whose letter Ben just had read here several minutes ago. A long-standing, upstanding members of the community here. They're in their 80s, for crying out loud. I mean, they are the people, that, along with the Paternos and everybody else, that have made this community what it is today in so many respects. And who are these trustees to not be connected in any way with that sentiment that these people who are the community have?
Well, one of the things that I want to say here is for years, Andy, all the time, you know, you've been here at the station, radio free, and the kind of sentiments that are now coming out were considered the fringe and really couldn't get a voice. And, you know, the mainstream was over there in Old Main.
Right.
And they dictated the narrative and everything that went on. Well, suddenly, in the course of 24 hours, Radio Free Penn State and the Collegian and the voice of the students is the mainstream, and they're on the fringe. So, you know, it's a total reversal.
Wow. You just blew my mind, Ben. It's like putting your shirt on backwards.
I did that the other day.
Unbelievable. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. I want to grab the other line, but I appreciate the call here, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Take care. All right, I want to go to the other line here. We have Tony waiting patiently on the line here. Radio Free Penn State. Tony, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from outside of Philly.
What's the reaction in the mood there?
I've got family in Philly. I've gotten family on the West Coast. And I don't think we fully know the full scope of this. This is forever going to scar Penn State. I can't see them ever recovering from this. This is going to mark their legacy 15, 20 years down the road. People will always associate Penn State with this sex abuse scandal, whether the allegations prove true or not, or whether they get dismissed. This is forever going to scar Penn State students and this institution. I don't see how any PR department or any football coach who they might bring in can restore honor to this program.
Well, Tony, let me give you some hope in that regard. You know, I'm a Catholic, and I know a lot of other Catholics. And the church, our church, has been through these sex scandals now for more than a decade. And, you know, the kind of abuse and everything that was hurled upon them by the mainstream media and by the press, you know, was as horrible as what Penn State is going to get now. But
I'm a Catholic too,
and I can't. Yeah, and I can say that
it's hard to go through it again.
Well, it is. I mean, it's horribly hard, and yet we can look at the church and say the church is getting stronger as a result. It is. It really did learn something, and it really the people buckled down. We took the abuse, and we're stronger for it. So I'm hoping that Penn State will learn from that too. That we can endure this, we can get tougher, and we can get better, and we can stay loyal and true to what we believe. So if we see that example, at least you know we can weather the storm, and we will come out stronger and better as a result.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Program up.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Center Hall right here outside of State College, 8 miles away. We have Mark on the line. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight? I know not very well, but thank you for the coverage on everything.
Thanks for calling. What point would you like to offer for us on the show?
I just have a question for you guys, and then I'm going to hang up. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound like a real wild question, but I'm going to ask it. If there's enough blowback, enough protesting by the students, the alumni, enough threats to pull funding and donations, any chance at all long shot Paterno gets to come back?
You mean for this season or for...
Either this season or for next season, since apparently he did want to coach next season. I doubt it'll get done quick enough to come back this season, maybe for the last game. But I know it's a wild question. I just wanted to ask it. I'm gonna hang up now.
Thank you.
It's a good question.
Thank you, Mark.
I don't know how to answer it.
I certainly hope so.
Look, here's what I would say. This is the realist in me, and I think this would be appropriate as well. It's also the idealist in me. I think that despite everything, I think that what should happen, and I would hope would happen by this Saturday, being that this is the last home game for this season, is that they would have some kind of a commemorative honor center ceremony for Joe Paterno, in which they, whether it's 10 minutes long or 20 minutes long or whatever it is, whether it's pregame, halftime, whatever it is, have something dedicated for Joe Paterno and have him there and have him be able to say, I think this entire community in this university, at the very, very least, owes him at least the ability to be able to say, give a speech or make a statement in front of everybody in Beaver Stadium on Saturday. I don't know, Ben, if
well, I don't think he could or would do that, but I think the ceremony is an idea. But I'd like to suggest another thing.
Okay.
That really could make a difference. We have a beautiful mountain right across the valley, and it's only 1,000 feet high. And, you know, if 10,000 students, one evening, Sunday evening, let's say, or one evening next week, were just to walk the 2 miles over to that mountain and the 900 feet up the mountain, and with candles, and or with, not candles, with flashlights and electric lanterns, space themselves over the whole side of that mountain from the top, and at a given signal, everybody lighted up that mountain and just lit up the mountain for Joe and Sue Paterno. You know, that would be on every television screen in the world. It would be such a dramatic gesture. And it's something the students can just do, just walk 2 miles down the road.
I've done it before.
Climb the mountain. Well, I think
instead of several thousand flipping over a van or pulling down a lamppost
right.
on Beaver Avenue,
right.
how mean, about several thousand go up the mountain with flashlights?
I mean,
and
what
light,
a sacred thing to show! What a dramatic thing to show on television of this light, this mountain being lit up. And by the way, you know, you can shine the flashlight out as a point of light. You shine it behind you against the mountain. If everybody turned at the same moment, it would light the background. The entire mountain would be you know, like daylight in the middle of the night. And it would be an incredibly dramatic. By the way, I've done this and had people watch what it looks like, you know, with a few people,
yep.
what it would look like with 10,000. You know, it'd be the most dramatic gesture in the world. And by the way, the picture of that lighting up the mountain for Joe and Sue would be, you know, in magazines and newspapers for 100 years.
They could hundreds of people could get up there and form themselves into giant letters, either at JOPA or right. PSU right. Or
but,
whatnot.
I mean, the idea of 10,000 people being on the whole side of that mountain, if we could have a couple fraternities and sororities go up there and mark out the places so when the students and townspeople came up. By the way, I talked with this with townspeople, you know, previously over the last few years.
You ran the idea past them.
I ran the idea past them, and they thought it was a fantastic idea. You know, they said, you can get 10,000 townspeople up that mountain for Joe Paterno. Now, this was all before all this. I think you get 20,000 now. You know, and so if we were to light up that mountain, what an incredible picture it would be. And it would convey the real meaning of Penn State to those people in California that we just heard about on the telephone call. Mm-hmm. You know, all across the country, that there is a spirit here that is indomitable and that is really much deeper than a bunch of publicity on in the news.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 865-9577, 865-WKPS. If anyone would like to, anyone else would like to share some thoughts on any aspect of this. Do you agree with the Harrisburg Patriot News? Penn State Board of Trustees getting it wrong. That's definitely the sentiment we're getting from virtually everybody here at Penn State and the broader Penn State community. A lot of stories breaking about this thing. Some crazy stuff on the Huffington Post about Jerry Sandusky pimping boys for donors. Absolutely despicable story, if it's true. Things getting worse on that front. So much going on here. The riots last night, I mean, deplorable behavior, but understandable. Frank.
I just wanted to point out a alum here of not only the school but of the line 90.7 FM has recently created a WeStillAre.com website in which there's multiple stories and pictures of Penn State pride and support, not only from Penn Staters but others from other universities and around the country. And I just want to point that out. Check that out as new stuff continues to go on there. We're hoping to get some of last night's interview on there right after the riot. Going back to, I believe it was Mark who supported the Collegian and our radio station here for our coverage. Again, if you want to hear the real voice of the students, this is it. You know, it's not the media out there, supposedly representing what the story is. We're here, we're at ground zero. And I think no matter what happens, whether, they let up the mountain or not, I think the biggest outcry you're going to see is on Saturday at that football game.
I want to go back to the phones. We have waiting patiently on the line, calling in from Belfont, just outside of State College. We have our good friend, Farmer Fred.
Well, hello, Andy.
How are you?
All the humor with Farmer Fred, I guess, goes out the window on a day like this, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Fred. But
Hi, Ben.
We're just going to have to plant deeper next year.
Well, I have a comment about the future. I mean, any major event like this, a shock, everybody's, kind of in the present, very understandable. But let's look at how this thing is kind of, what's happened here. I mean, Penn State has had some problems for quite a while here. And at some point, of course, we're going to have to, the trustees are going to have to pick a new president. And I think the thought, it has to be very careful who they pick here. And I don't think picking a celebrity, I mean, I don't have anything really against Tom Ridge, but just reaching out, I don't know if that's just rumor or whatever. But I think people have to start taking seriously the role of the Board of Trustees.
Right.
There's been an atmosphere here, the Mazes, Novak, these names, this community. That's the old Penn State community that's made it what only us people that live and part of the Penn State community know about.
Yeah.
And, the outside world doesn't know this. Well, the outside world was brought in a while back. And I know I'm not saying this very well, but I think there has to be reform even at the trustee level. From what I see, it's been pretty much a rubber stamp. Whatever the administration wanted, that's what it got. I think it's fair to say there was an element of fear on the Penn State campus.
Right.
Fear of retribution, fear that they're going to, of course, this I don't call it a facade, but I mean the aura of Penn State's righteousness. I mean that's a disease. And anyway, I just kind of throwing this out. I know you and Ben kind of know what I'm saying. You can probably say what I'm thinking better than I can say myself. But I think it's, you know, as we look to the future, I liked what Ben said about the Mountain Project. Penn State is much, much bigger than the half dozen people involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it. And what do we do about the future? I don't think it's irretrievable at all. So I'll just kind of be quiet and maybe even get off the phone if you like and just listen to what you have to say.
Fred, God bless you. We thank you. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Ben, you served on the board for 12 years. And I know you, you of all people know darn well what Fred's alluding to. And it seems, especially since the Spanier administration, since its inception in 1995, there has been, at least from what I've observed since I got to Penn State in the mid-90s, there seems to be this sort of look the other way, accept everything, rubber stamp, kind of MO among many, many trustees. And whether they view their role on there as a ceremonial title or whether they view it as God knows what, but I got to wonder, and it goes back to the question I asked in the beginning, and Seth alluded to it when he called in earlier. You know, he said, why aren't the trustees just as culpable for all intents and purposes? And why are they so disconnected with the community? And why aren't they asking the deeper questions and getting to know people and truly having an understanding of what's happening here? They never would have made this sort of decision, or at least not in the way that they did, if they were those kind of people.
Well, you know, what you really need is a man or a woman of real wisdom to be able to discern this situation and understand it. I'm going to give you an example. I was searching all night for an historical example for what has happened here, and I would like to suggest one. Japan, started World War II, attacked Pearl Harbor. The head of the Japanese government was the Emperor Hirohito, and although he wasn't active in the decision, he had to agree to everything.
Right.
And so at the end of the war, he was a war criminal. And, you know, if you would ask the politicians, whether in any of the governments of the West, they would have said, hang him. But fortunately, they had put General MacArthur in charge of Japan as the commissioner. And he realized the importance of the Emperor Hirohito to the Japanese people. And he kept the emperor. He says, no, we're not going to hang him. We're not going to give him a trial. We're going to keep him as the emperor. And that formed the basis of the trust that the Japanese people gave the Americans, you know, in the occupation, so that it was a very friendly thing and they appreciated the Americans and came to be one of our best allies.
So it allowed that nation, that society, to that broader community to keep its iconic dignity, so
that's
to speak.
That's right. That's right.
And the defeating power basically said, we recognize the importance of that to you,
right,
and its inherent importance, and therefore we are going to preserve that, not just as a token of good faith, but as to show you that we recognize your whatever positive aspect there could be to your honor, even though you've disgraced it with your actions. We want you to live up to this, and
that's
this is the symbol of that. And so the analogy here is with Joe Paterno.
That's right.
And
if we had the wisdom of a General MacArthur, they would not have treated Joe Paterno like this. They would have realized that if we're ever going to recover from this, we're going to have to keep our dignity, and Joe is the very icon, the symbol of that dignity.
Despite whatever culpability or degree of culpability,
right,
he may have had in any of this.
Right. In other words, if we're going to pull through it, we're going to need that strength. Okay, and MacArthur realized that. Hirohito wasn't hung and wasn't tried. Instead, he remained on the throne, and we were able to work with the Japanese to pull through it better than ever. So we just don't have those wise men and women around. Well, it's the same in the national government. It's the same all throughout America. We've been, you know, maybe have too much money and too much politicians and too many sound bites and not enough looking for wisdom instead of telegenic personalities.
Well, that's a very profound way of saying it, Ben. That's amazing, and I really appreciate that historical example. I think that analogy is very poignant. 865 WKPS. If anybody has any other questions or thoughts on any of this here, That's amazing. John D'Andrea.
Instead, unfortunately, what we had from the Board of Trustees and the way that they presented themselves to the trustee who spoke on their behalf through the press conference was it was the exact opposite of what Ben's advocating. It was a complete embarrassment to the university. The Board of Trustees, the highest governing body of the university, the final decision makers of this university, embarrassed the university that they're supposed to keep in trust. They're the last people who should have been doing that. Everything, small things, from the flippant demeanor to the way that they carry themselves, mentioning not wearing ties, all the way up to making such a poor decision, completely lacking in judgment, and what appeared to be either based on just the vapid reporting of national media hacks. Or perhaps maybe the influence of maybe a few donors. And so my question is, how much, you know, how much does your conscience cost, and what will it take to buy it back?
I want to read you an excerpt, fellas, and I don't want to confuse the issue or go off on a tangent, but I think this partially, at least, serves to explain why we have this looking the other way when we find out and hear about things like actions of Sandusky. And this is not on the part of Joe, but I mean ultimately when the buck stops at Spanier's office, and why is nothing done? Well, I don't know how many people know about this, okay? And it's more or less irrelevant now that Dr. Spanier is no longer the president, but Dr. Spanier co-authored an article with a Charles Cole. The title of it was called Mate Swapping: Perceptions, Value Orientations, and Participation in a Midwestern Community. And one of the excerpts of this particular article reads as follows. Now listen to this. Quote, "We choose to view deviant behavior simply as behavior that some value and others consider wrong. An individual's behavior becomes deviant only when others define it as deviant. Much of an individual's behavior can be viewed as a response to this labeling," he writes in quotes. "Mate swapping, then, can be viewed as either deviant or normal behavior, depending on who is viewing it and from what perspective it is being viewed," unquote.
That's disgusting.
That point, in my mind, completely explains looking the other way when you hear about a Jerry Sandusky. That mentality completely explains, in my mind, looking the other way whenever somebody does anything wrong, depending on whether you like it or not and whether you choose to define it as right or wrong, depending on whether or not it suits your personal interests, not whether or not it appeals to any kind of universal sense of virtue or dignity or anything moral.
And this was the man, if I can use that word, that the Board of Trustees worked with, that they whom they allowed to resign and release a formal farewell statement on behalf of the university, while Coach Paterno, who is a true man with real honor, who has no tolerance for deviance, didn't even have the courtesy of a face-to-face meeting, was coldly called by them and terminated. Shame on the board.
Well, I'd like to just pick up on what Andy was saying about how this culture of deviance and toleration of it has permeated all of society, because it's very easy for us to point our fingers at Joe Paterno or the Board of Trustees. But I watched last night the students downtown, and when some students went over to start rocking the lamppost as preparatory to pulling them down, there were thousands of students around cheering and watching with great pleasure to see all this mayhem being done, these crimes being committed, when they were damaging cars and so forth. There are other students who watching say, well, we were innocent. We didn't do anything. They simply watched with smiles on their faces and enjoyed
they egged it on in
people
many
doing it.
Yeah.
So those, they say only a few were the bad ones or the deviant ones, but most of the students there were there to approve it. And so we have to clean up our own act at every stage, not simply to point our fingers at Joe Paterno or the Board of Trustees. We have to start pointing the fingers at ourselves. In fact, someone once pointed out to me, every time you point a finger at somebody, there are three other fingers pointing back at you.
Right.
When you said, Andy, this is part of a social thing in all of America, well, we saw it last night with the students and the damage being done and so many cheering them on or watching with great glee. They didn't do it, but they were approving of it, and they weren't going to report to the police about it.
Right.
So I hope this is an occasion for all of us to look deeply into our own hearts and say, look, we cannot act this way anymore. It has brought down the administration, has brought down the reputation of Penn State. It's brought down the most honored football coach in all America, mm-hmm. Right after winning more games than any other coach in American history.
You know, Ben, not to interrupt you, but you know, the sentiment, I think, in the minds of so many people last night, rioting and doing whatever, was, hey, you know what? Two rights don't make a wrong. And what the trustees did was a wrong on top of the other wrong. But then the same message applies equally to them.
Three
wrongs don't make a right either. Right. And that's the lesson for everybody in all of this. Students, yeah. Administrators, alumni, the broader Penn State community, everybody.
That's right. So I hope we all grow from this.
Right. All right, gentlemen, this has been a great discussion, and I'm going to leave it for the time being. Frank, you have a few closing thoughts on this.
Yeah, I just want to say, as a student to my fellow students and peers, you know, support us, support the Collegians, support your players on Saturday, and do it in a respectful manner. And, keep posting your good stories about what has been done here at Penn State, what you've been involved in that has made this university so great that you love. And check out westillare.com. For updates of support, as well as our Radio Free Penn State Facebook page and the Line 90.7 FM Facebook page.
And I'd like to ask all of you, think about lighting up the mountain for Joe and Sue Paterno. It would be the most symbolic and the most sacred act that people would see. This is what Penn State is in a very visible form. So think about, talk about it.
All right, very good. That's going to do it for us on Radio Free Penn State. I want to thank all of you, Frank Canella, John D'Andrea, Dr. Ben Novak. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 o'clock, right here on the Line 90.7 FM to try to wrap this up, gauge the mood, continue the discussion. It's going to do it for us on Radio Free Penn State. The Sports Blitz is coming up next. Justin!